Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we are here till 11. Feel free to get online. We have one line open for you, 800-966-WTIC and 522-WTIC, and we are broadcasting live over at the WTIC Facebook page if you want to follow us. And Mark Zuckerberg hasn't taken us down yet. We're there. Let's get to your calls. We've got Bill in Southington up first. Bill, what's going on?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm in the process of moving from New Britain to Southington. Thank you. And I've had Comcast in New Britain for the past 30 years. And about 5 years ago, I went cordless. And, I just have internet service from Comcast. And I have a Asus router that I keep up to date with the latest firmware. And I have a Motorola 3.1 modem. Would I have to get a new router and modem when I go with Cox here in Southington?
Not necessarily. So your router should be fine. That is yours, and it doesn't matter what type of internet service you use. The modem, though, can be carrier-specific. So I would tell you to...
I'm sorry. It's not a Comcast modem. It's something that I bought.
Yes, but you bought... It's a Comcast, obviously, supported modem. They support that.
Yes, correct.
So if you go on Cox's website, you can see if it is also listed as a supported modem in their environment. And have you looked into GoNetSpeed? We're lucky enough in Southington that GoNetSpeed is there. It's a fiber service.
Yeah. No, I haven't. I wasn't aware of that.
That's why I'm bringing it up. So if you want to go and put your address in, and you'll find out if you could get access to fiber speeds, which is the smallest service they offer residential is 150 up and 150 down, way more than you need. But guess what? It only costs you $50, guaranteed for life.
Yeah, well, Comcast in New Britain, I have the Blast Plus, and it's like pay $98 a month, and I get 300 megabits download and 12 megabits upload.
Right. I can cut your cost in half, and guaranteed for life, no increases, and it's 150 by 150. So you'll be in great shape. I would tell you to take a look to see if you're going to get it at your new address. And then your router would still work. You would just get a different fiber modem from – they would provide a modem from GoNetSpeed.
GoNetSpeed. Yeah. Okay, and I have a quick Facebook question.
All right.
About a week ago, I've never had an issue logging into Facebook, and all of a sudden, about a week ago, I wasn't able to log into Facebook under my account anymore. And then I got a message saying that they needed to verify my identity, and they wanted me to provide them with a driver's license or a birth certificate or a passport. And I'm saying, what and why?
Well, there's two problems there, right? Passport, driver's license. So I think we both think your account was hacked, right? So so somebody's logging in as you with your email address and your password. And the question is, the verifications that are being asked for, it'd be nice to know your driver's license number, right? Because that's additional factors as far as what a bad guy could do with that data. Now, if it's truly Facebook asking for this to prove you are who you are to get your identity back, or your Facebook identity back, then that's one thing. I've never had my Facebook page hacked. My password's pretty robust. So I've never been through this personally, but I would tell you to do some research before you start putting pictures of your driver's license or whatever they're asking for and send it to whoever's asking for it. Did they reach out to you and say they want to check your identity?
When I go to Facebook.com and I enter my username and password,
right.
I get a message saying access denied. You know, I have the two-factor authentication where they send me a code.
Oh, good.
You know, and when I, click on send me the code, it does not send me a code.
Ooh.
Somebody hacked it. They changed your password.
And changed your number.
They changed the number to them and not to you.
Right.
Okay. So how do I clear that up?
Like I said, you're going to have to go on Facebook's page itself and do some, I'm sure there's some frequently asked questions on how to gain access to your account. We can go find a link to it as well. But you're going to be the one that needs to do all the legwork.
All the legwork, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. What made me nervous was it kind of sounded like somebody reached out to you and said, hey, prove your identity by sending this. And if you're not sure who's asking for that, it could be a bad guy further trying to take over some of your identity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I'm going to have to do a little bit of research. And I'm a member of a couple of professional forums on Facebook, and I miss having access to those forums. So
yeah.
I have a link. I have a link we can post for Facebook where it says report compromised account. And there's a button there that says, my account is compromised. And you can go to that and then see where it goes from there.
Yeah, that may be a way to...
Thank you very much. I'll do that when I get back to my house in New Britain. I'll probably do it this evening. I'm in the process of moving, so...
Yeah, the only thing that concerns me, Bill, is that when the bad guy was hacking your account and he either guessed your password or what have you, that second factor should have hit your phone. So... The fact that
the problem was, it comes up with the feel for the, second factor. And then underneath it says, if you don't get it, click on this. And, I do that and it comes back saying denied.
Yeah. But the point is, when anybody hacks anybody's account, when they make these changes, they would have had to log in with the password. Is it that your second factor is never asked for every time or only asked for occasionally?
It's every time. Every time I try to, I ask for the second factor, number, I don't get it.
So you have to ask for it?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not fully implemented.
I have to ask for it now. Previously, I didn't. It would automatically... they would automatically send it to me.
Oh, they would.
Now I have to ask for it, and when I ask for it, it says denied.
Interesting. So I'm just trying to figure out how the bad guy got past that second factor being sent to you when that person got into your account. That's what I'm trying to figure out, because they should have been impacted by that second factor, if you always were. They shouldn't be able to change it without putting the factor in. So how did they do that?
Well, I went to a site where they said I needed to change my password.
Right.
It was timed out.
Right.
And so I changed my password, and then I went to log in, and it said, I couldn't log in.
Right.
So it said I needed to change my password.
Again.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it said, when you're going to have to send you a code, what's your phone number?
Well, that was to put it in separately. He's already had it in there.
Well, no, wait, but it sent it to my... If I'd have been somebody else trying to hack in...
Well, that would be...
I could have put my phone number in... And it would have come to me, and then I'm in, and then I change everything.
Yeah, I know. But in his case, it was locked down. I don't know. Something's fishy, Bill. I'm worried that there's more going on with your account than I don't want to make you a little overly afraid, but it does sound a little extra fishy.
All right. Well, what I'll do is I'll go on your website, and I'll click on that link saying that my account has been compromised, and see what happens from there.
Very good. Yeah, we'll put some links up there for you, sir. Good luck. And check out GoNetSpeed. I think you'd be very happy.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're
for
welcome.
The information. All right. Enjoy the day. I mean, it'd be a lot nicer if it was 80 degrees and sunny, but...
Yeah, not in Connecticut.
No, not today. All right. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, Bill. Bye. So that's the thing about two-factor authentication. So it didn't really save Bill, right? So the worry I have about Bill's account is that somehow... That second factor that the bad guy would have had to put in when he figured out Bill's password didn't go to Bill's phone and like it normally does. So in that case, could he have redirected the number as the bad guy from his phone, but it sounds like his phone works too. So I'm not sure you can do SIM duplication. I think you can only jack the SIM. You can't have it in two places. So I don't know. Something fishy about that. I'm a little worried for Bill. We're going to step out for a break here. Feel free to get on line 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. That's also why I like the Yubico key, because it's literally in my pocket. No phone numbers. It's got to be plugged into the computer, and my finger has to touch it. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk. The lines are all jammed up, so we do appreciate you guys calling us on this lovely Saturday morning. Sam Samperio is talking about a foot of snow somewhere. I hope he's wrong. Come on, Sam. That's crazy talk, I hope. Let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Lori in Deep River first. What's going on, Lori?
Yes, good morning. I have a Pavilion, HP Pavilion 17.
Yeah.
It is working on Windows 10 Home version 2004, so it's been around the block for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're trying to do is to wipe it out completely. It's been replaced for my mother-in-law. She now has a brand new one, so she's all set. And this one needs to be recycled without any information on it. So it's either we just want to clean everything off of it.
Right. Are you going to donate it to somebody?
No, we're not sure who to do it to. We're thinking on just putting it in the recycle, and it will probably be picked out from the recycle bin at our local transfer station. So,
right.
It's older than sin and slower than molasses, okay. You know,
yeah.
Instead of winter. So.
So you could do something simple, just format the C drive. That's a basic process, which would format the hard drive. We could put some, give her some information on how you format the drive. Go ahead, Bob.
But being a Dell, there should be an option in there if you do a system restore to set it back to factory and wipe out all, you know, it'll format the drive and then restore the operating system to factory when you got it.
Okay. I do see that to reset this PC, if it isn't running well, resetting it might help. And that will, but the problem is that this lets you choose to keep your personal files, and we do not want to keep personal files.
Right, you would choose not to. You would choose not to keep them.
Okay, so we can just get started on that.
You can do that. The other idea is simply to take the hard drive out of the computer.
Okay.
So you can do your reset like you just chose to, removing all the data. Then take the hard drive out of the computer, and I have to say this, with safety glasses on, take a hammer to the hard drive, or if you have a drill bit that's a metal drill bit, just drill a hole right through the hard drive. That's good.
Yeah, we've done that sort of thing before. And
yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that would, it's a great target. Yeah, we were thinking of blinking it. So when
say that again?
It can be a great target.
Like a shooting target?
Yeah, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, but, you know,
all right.
I'll take it apart.
I've seen that done before.
Have you seen that done before, Bob?
Yeah, frequently, actually.
For hard drives?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. They make good targets.
Wouldn't that ricochet? Wouldn't that bang?
No, absolutely not. It shatters them.
Does it really? Okay. All right, so I would tell you to wear safety glasses for that, too, Lori.
Considering I work in ophthalmology, I already know that one.
There we go.
Yeah. We're good. Okay. So doing that and then removing the hard drive is really the best way of...
You will be certain in that case. If you do the wiping and then you go ahead and drill it or shoot it or hammer it. I think it's the first time on the show in 25 years we've talked about guns and computers at the same time.
It's a rainy Saturday. What else are we going to do?
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, hopefully that helps, Lori.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Have a good day now.
You too. Bye-bye. You never know what's going to be on this show. You just never know. Why not? Why not shoot your hard drive? Let's go to Carmen in Guilford next. What's going on, Carmen?
Hey. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Question on charging blocks. I bought a new iPhone SE, 10 SE, and it obviously comes with the cable, but it didn't come with the block. So my wife ordered a couple of them from Walmart, aftermarket, I guess you call them. So my concern is, obviously, are they virus-free, or is there something to be concerned about when they're aftermarket like that?
There is something to be concerned about. You never know if this aftermarket device has got some sort of built-in spyware. We've had discussions about this in the past. You never know. So I would tell you to be concerned, and Apple would prefer you to buy it from them.
Okay, no worries about that. I have no problem doing that. I just didn't realize that my old charging block does not fit the new cable
right.
cord.
That's why Apple makes all their money. They make a lot of money on these silly cords.
All right.
I could be a little overkill on my concern, but then again, it's a third-party device. It's plugged into your Apple, right? And there have been known compromises using those third-party interfaces.
Yeah, correct. All right. That's what I was concerned about. I have not even received them yet. She just ordered them, and I was just before I even do anything with them, I wanted to check with you.
Yep, I would just tell you to use the company stuff. I mean, if I ever bought Apple someday, which I don't think I ever would, I would do it. The same thing with my Pixel. I will always use the Google provided cord, or purchase it from Google again if I ever lost it.
But what about just my carrier is I'll say it out loud. My carrier is AT&T. What if I went to their store and bought it from them? Is that the same? Would that consider aftermarket, or would that consider Apple?
No, they'll have an Apple product. They'll probably have aftermarket and Apple. They'll probably have both for you.
Okay, gotcha. All right, thank you for your help today.
No, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You got to be careful. I mean, I know it sounds a little paranoid, but we know how the sausage is made, and maybe I am a little paranoid, but because of the world we're in and the manufacturers of this equipment, you just don't know if it's... if it's secure or not. I know it just sounds crazy, and call me crazy.
Since it's almost all made in China now.
Right. you just never know. Let's go on to Jack in Broadbrook next. What's going on, Jack?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, a quick question. I was listening earlier, and I caught the end of it. My call concerns using PayPal and Venmo to transfer money back and forth between my son and my daughter and other known people.
Yeah.
Am I correct that you are not a fan of that?
I'm not a fan of it, and my kids hate me for it, because the kids these days move money around back and forth with Venmo like crazy. So PayPal, of course, is much safer. It's a very well-known service. So if you're using PayPal to move money around, I'm not sure how you do it, but I don't use it. That's great. Venmo makes me a little nervous. Again, it just reaches into bank accounts and things are banging around. And you've heard, I can post story after story after story of Venmo issues with payments and vendors. But if you know the person you're sending it back and forth to, it is safer than if you don't know the person, I contend. But it just makes me nervous to have a third party reaching in and out of bank accounts. It's as it is that, you know, the whole issue of moving money around within bank accounts has had issues. We've had stories about even payroll companies who have, you know, inadvertently made an error and paid people twice and then reached back into their account and pulled it out. Well, they're not supposed to be able to do that, according to the approved banking policies that are out there.
My son had the Georgia power company that he does business with. My son had the Georgia power company he deals with.
Yeah.
He had that set up for direct payment.
Yeah.
And they actually pulled the money out four times.
Yeah.
In a week.
That's not good for your son.
Yeah, he caused him to go overdrawn.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, again, this automation, I mean, it's a great convenient thing, but there's a lot of areas for error, and I would just be nervous about it connecting to any bank account of mine.
Can I ask you a broader issue?
Sure.
It just seems to me like going forward, there's going to be more and more digital exchange of, quote, money.
Mm-hmm.
So how, if possible, are institutions, in your opinion, kind of preparing for preventing fraud and mistransactions and so forth, or is that on the horizon?
Oh, they're working hard at it. Don't get me wrong. The banking institutions are working very, very hard to prevent this. And I agree with you. You're going to find more and more of this stuff happening. I would just contend to use a third party like a credit card company, right? Those companies have been moving money around digitally for decades. And if we can make it so that they're not reaching directly into your bank account and you can pay the bill after you reviewed it, at least it's not instantly losing the money. You know, you're dealing with a third party. I would just contend that might be nice. Having instant money is a little risky, I think. Just me. You know? We'll see what happens.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a great day.
You too, Jack. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, so stick around. One line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. So I did a little bit of research during the break. And the great thing is Venmo does allow you to attach a credit card. And according to this article, the safest way to use Venmo is to use a credit card as your primary funding method, as opposed to using a debit card or a direct link to your bank account. Because, you know, if they make an error where they pull too much money out of your checking account, all of a sudden you're dealing with actual money that is gone versus a credit card issue that you can deal with at a later stage. You have multiple billing cycles that you can deal with to figure out if your credit card was impacted by a fraudulent Venmo. So that's what I would recommend you do. And I actually put the link up there to this article for you. Let's get back to your calls. We're going to go to Weathersfield and Marcia next. What's going on, Marcia?
Good morning. Two questions for you. First mm-hmm. of all, what is and the purpose of and safety associated with using DuckDuckGo? As well as I've heard you mention, is it OpenDNS?
Yes.
Okay. Could you just discuss those two items, please?
Yeah. DuckDuckGo kind of promises that when you do a search on using their search tool, that you're not going to be tracked, right? So, you know, I'm doing a search for a new case for my phone. Everywhere I go, whether I'm on Facebook or anything I use now, I get these ridiculous ads for case phones, right? No matter where I go, I just deluge with phone case ads. DuckDuckGo promises that they will not do that to you. They will keep your searches private. That's what they're offering you, some level of privacy when you're on the internet. OpenDNS is a safer way to surf the internet. So imagine I think of it as a parkway. You know, you're able to go down a parkway where there's no trucks on that parkway, right? So a nice little safer road versus the wild, wild west of the main interstates. And as long as you're surfing more safely, the bad guys are going to have less chance of infiltrating your system because you're not on the wide open internet, if that makes some sense to you.
Sure. On DuckDuckGo, are they affiliated at all with Google?
Somebody said that last week, and that would make no sense to me.
I said, you know, someone had told me, well, they're on the back end, and I said, well, that defeats the purpose, because now they still have, you know, access to all of your information, what you're doing.
Yeah, and I got to do some research on that to see if it makes sense. Now, believe it or not, Bing, remember Bing search engine, which is a Microsoft search engine? Early on, they were actually leveraging Google's algorithms to produce the search results because their search engine was so bad. I can't imagine that DuckDuckGo is affiliated with Google at all because it would completely defeat the purpose, I would think. But if they promise that they're not, here you go, Bob. Bob did some research.
Well, we talked about this before.
Yeah, we
and
did.
The same thing is coming up. Google transferred ownership of the domain name duck.com
that's right.
to DuckDuckGo. So really good. They're not really affiliated. And
right.
Also, there's another article that says that Google has quietly added DuckDuckGo as a search engine option for Chrome users in 60-plus markets.
So they're not affiliated. So, the confusion comes in. I guess Google must have owned the URL of Duck, right?
Duck.com, yep.
And so they must have gone to Google and said, hey, Google, you don't need Duck.com. Can we buy it from you? And Google said, whatever. Here
duck.
You go.
Duck.com.
Duck. Duck.com or two ducks or one duck?
No, one duck.
One duck. So duck.com. So that's all they did. And that's what's getting this confusion.
They were cyber squatting.
Maybe.
So they sold to they sold the DuckDuckCom to DuckDuckGo.
No. They sold a single DuckDuckCom to DuckDuckGo.
DuckDuckCom.
Talk about internet. You know, all these people, these crazy cyber companies using weird names to call their company, but it's what they did. They wanted Duck.com, and Google owned it. Just like we own TabInc.com, right? We own it. And somebody could come up with a search engine that says, I want to be a search engine, and our search engine is going to be TabTabGo. So we want to buy TabInc.com from you. So we would say, no, but in this case, if you're going to pay us $1 billion, we'd do that. Here's our TabInc.com, and we're all going to go to retire. That's what happened. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So the search engine DuckDuckGo is then, you think, complete, you know, away from anything else.
I would say it's safe, and I would say it's a little more private for now.
Until they get bought.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
Would you also have OpenDNS on your computer?
Yes. Well? That, OpenDNS is a Cisco company. So you're going to now not have, when you surf with OpenDNS, I would contend that your internet provider's DNS is not being used, meaning they can't track you, right? Internet providers like Comcast, Cox, and all those guys want to sell our data. They've been allowed to do so. But if you use OpenDNS's DNS information, they have less chance of doing that. Now, if you're using a Chrome browser, right, you're using Google Chrome or any of the other browsers, they also want to know where you're going. And so what they do is put cookies on it. So you could go ahead and search in DuckDuckGo all day long. But if you then go to a site on Chrome because of DuckDuckGo, who knows that you went there?
Right.
Google.
Yep. Right. I get all kinds of ads. So how do I download OpenDNS? And is it free?
It is free, and it's nothing to download. You're just going to set up your DNS settings in your network to use a safer internet. So we can put the instructions again as to how to configure it. If you configure it on your router, all the devices in your home will be more safe. You then can configure actual filters that say people on my network in my home can't go to inappropriate websites, and you can figure out what those might be. You can actually limit access to certain content yourself, making your system more safe, more safe. But you will not be allowed to go to malicious sites using known malicious sites by using OpenDNS because they're already cataloged and they'll keep you away from them, which is kind of nice.
Okay, so you'll put those instructions?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, thank you so much. I really enjoy your show.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate
it. Thank you. Enjoy your day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. So let's move on to, let's try to get Rob in New Hartford. What's up, Rob? Rob, you there?
Yeah.
What's
up?
Can
you hear me?
Yep.
I've got a relatively new Acer laptop, and yesterday I received a brand new Samsung portable 2 terabyte SSD that I was going to use as a data drive.
Sure.
So I plugged it in. It's my D drive. I formatted it, and I was able to get about a terabyte worth of data copied to it, and then the source from that copy is going to be my backup. So I did that last night, and I woke up this morning, and my computer is telling me that the 2 terabyte external drive is a 42 megabyte drive, and all the data is gone.
That's an awful message to get in the morning.
Yeah. So I reformatted the disk again.
Yikes.
And, of course, now that the disk is wiped clean, but it's still telling me it's only a 42 megabyte drive.
So the drive might have come with two areas on it. It might have come with a little 42 megabyte area and then the full 2 terabyte area. But you said you saw the 2 terabyte at one point.
Last night, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't have formatted it. I think that drive that, or the partition that the data was on, just got hidden.
You think so?
I think so. I think it was there.
Who would have hidden it?
The operating system.
All right. How would you unhide it?
Well, you got to go in and get under properties.
But you can't. You're only seeing 42 megs now.
Well, yeah. Well,
megs or gigs?
Megs.
Okay. Yikes.
Yeah, that's
that's really bad.
That's like the database that, you know, the where all the information is stored.
Yeah, the fat table.
The fat table. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm not overly worried because I still have all the original data.
Right, but your drive is definitely wonking out. If you formatted it, Rob,
Yeah.
And you didn't make any other changes, and you're seeing now your data is missing or gone, and you only have a 42 megabyte sector. You can try reformatting that drive to show up as a 2 terabyte system, but I think you tried that already, right?
Yeah, and the only option for size of the drive is the 42 megabytes.
Yeah, so there's something really wrong with that drive's fat table.
So when you formatted it, did you format it as NTFS or...
He must have, because he saw 2 terabytes
FAT
before.
FAT32.
Yeah. Did they give you any options when you formatted it originally, Rob?
NTFS?
Yes.
And FAT.
FAT. Yeah, you don't want to use FAT.
And but you chose NTFS because you had a 2 terabyte partition, right?
Last night I did.
Right, right. I think that thing is failing on you, Rob. It's brand new, right? It's got no data on it, right?
Right.
Send it back.
Okay.
You should not have to mess with this drive further, because I don't trust it already. Even if you make it work and get the 2 terabytes back, something's wrong with that drive, I think. The boot sector of that drive is messed up somehow. I would just send it back.
So if you go into your device manager,
yeah,
or the disk management, what does it show up under there? If it doesn't show up as a 2 terabyte drive there, yeah, I would say do what Eric said.
Send it back.
Okay. I've always had such good luck with Samsung's external drives. This is disappointing.
It is. I'm sorry that it happened to you, but then again, that's the world of computers that we all live in. It's almost not worth figuring out granularly why it happened, right? It's acting very weird, very strange. And for me to tell you to keep working with that drive, if you're going to use it as a backup, and it's already starting this way, it's not smart of me to tell you to do that. And it's brand new, so just send it back. Get an RMA for it. Go on with Samsung. Get an RMA number. They'll send you a different drive. They probably will even tell you that you don't have to even bother sending that one back, if I had to guess.
All right.
All right. Go that way. Okay, Rob?
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, sir.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. Yeah, when you start seeing things act weird like that, it's usually not a good idea to continue with them. We're going to step out for a quick break, get back to more of your calls. Tom and Danny, hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tam, and we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. And then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. And we are live over at WTIC's Facebook page. Feel free to put a comment out there, say hello, let us know where you're listening from. It's kind of cool. We would type back, but we just have too many systems here running, so we're not able to really type back on the comments page right now. Let's get to your calls here. We're going to go to Tom in Windsor Locks next. What's going on, Tom?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I usually listen to you guys in the on the Saturday mornings,
mm-hmm.
and I've heard you say what antivirus programs you're using nowadays.
Yep.
I've heard it, but it never really sunk in because I didn't need it. Now
sure.
McAfee has just advised me that they've expired.
Yep.
What do you suggest I put onto the computer now?
So we would recommend WebRoot. WebRoot.
Okay.
And it's a Utah company, recently purchased by Carbonite.
Mm-hmm.
And we use it also in our professional work. So it's
okay, and that's a free.
No. We don't recommend anything free, Tom.
Okay.
In the old days, we used to, when viruses were just simple things that were putting out, a bunch of emails to stuff your email box. When those days are long gone, now they'll just destroy your data and ransom your company. So you need to pay for antivirus. WebRoot is a good choice. It's about $25 a year. It's not a very expensive solution.
Not bad. Okay.
Yeah. And it will do a good job.
Okay. Very good. My wife and I don't go anywhere really searching anything difficult, but just want to make sure I got the protection.
Exactly, and it really doesn't come down to that. I mean, you could search the most benign. You could search a website for pizza. You know, your local pool guy, his website could be compromised, and it could easily load malware right on your system. So it's not you. It's the Internet.
Okay. Very good. I feel a lot better now.
Very good.
Thank you for the help.
Anytime.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You can't run around naked on the internet anymore. You have to use proper protection, and that's WebRoot. And you have to go down a proper path, and that would be using OpenDNS. Those two things can dramatically reduce your chances of being impacted by something malicious. OpenDNS right now is free, still free, for home use. And WebRoot is $25, is not very expensive. Let's go on to Danny in Glastonbury. What's going on, Danny?
Hey, guys. Got a question about a micro SD card.
Yeah.
I wanted to expand my tablet, my S2.
Right.
And I've ordered a 64-gigabyte micro SDHC twice.
All right.
And when it comes, it turns out it's a micro SDX, not SDHC.
Okay.
Can I put an SDX in my tablet, not a SDHC?
Maybe. Sometimes X is just it just covers all the bases.
Yeah.
Maybe it's an extreme.
Yeah, because it says for full video, faster mobile performance.
Right. So it's probably just a better version of it. So I would say try it. I couldn't tell you for certain if it'll work in the Samsung S2, but if your device takes...
But it won't damage anything. It just won't work.
Right. It just won't show up as the storage you're looking for, or it will.
Okay. All right. SpaceX... cargo launch tomorrow to the space station from Florida.
Yeah.
And the Starship may go off tomorrow from Texas.
Right, as a belly flop test?
The belly flop, though, with the flaps and everything.
I can't wait to see that.
Up, like 15 kilometers.
Right. And then come down and belly flop and hopefully
survive.
Right,
belly flop and flare up and land.
Unbelievable. Very cool. I can't wait. We're
and
all looking forward to it.
Texas from California.
Yes, he's a smart man. No one said he wasn't a smart man.
Well, he spends so much time down there with the Starship, too, so
yeah.
I'm sure the taxes have a little bit to do with it.
Also, how he was treated during the COVID.
Yeah, they didn't do a very good job on him. All right, guys, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Danny. All right. Anybody else going on? Let's see what's going on here. Bob is first. Who's on the line? Yep, we're going to go to John in Manchester next. What's going on, John?
Hey, I mistakenly allowed a scammer to access my laptop through login and got kind of far down, basically identifying what they said it was an EXE file, it was a virus, and it really wasn't, and so they were trying to sell me something or whatever. So I kind of watched them the whole time that they had access to my laptop, but... and obviously never paid them or anything or allowed them to delete or do anything to a file. Just curious, other than running antivirus and et cetera on the machine, run malware, Sophos, anything else that you would recommend that, given that they did have access, that I do?
I just hate that they had access to your system like that, John. You don't know what they put on it. You know, and they're not going to put a program that looks like a virus on it. They could put things on it that just are regular programs, right? They're going to use to remote access. So if that ever happened to me, if I was in some sort of, Merlot induced guard down situation,
stupor.
Yeah, I would literally format and reload my machine. You just don't know what they were doing on there. You were watching, yes. But these guys are going to do whatever they can to load whatever they want on their system. And I know they're trying to extract about $300 from you, correct?
Yeah, even more, yeah. $699.
600 now. Jeez. And I don't think they're really that interested in putting bad stuff on your computer. They're really just interested in tricking you into buying something that's not worth anything. So they may not have put anything on there, but they might have. And so for me to be completely comfortable with using that computer again with anything sensitive, banking or what have you might do with it, I would wipe and reload it. That's just me. But you can put, you can put malware bytes on there and all sorts of things on there, but I don't think they're going to load malware that's detectable. They're going to load a program that's usable, like log me in or what have you, or any kind of remote activity or remote connectivity tool if they really wanted to get back into John's computer in Manchester. But I really don't think they did. They just wanted to extract $600 from you. So I'm probably overly pessimistic and overly paranoid. But again, we know how the sausage is made. So if somebody else is on my machine, I don't know what they're doing on my machine, even if I'm watching them, really.
Right. So the most extreme step would be reformat. I mean, in the meantime, I have changed passwords and all that other stuff. But like you said, if they put something on there that's not detectable, then I just don't know.
And what other things did they do to extract information? Maybe they were extracting, you know, information from the machine while they were quote unquote working on it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks, guys. Very much appreciate your help.
All right, John. Thank you. Yeah, it's really kind of a creepy feeling when you've let somebody into your system that you don't know about. I want to thank everybody for joining us on this lovely Nor'easter Saturday morning. And I want to thank Mike G for posting everything live. I want to thank Matt back in Farmington at the Farmington Studios doing everything remotely. Eventually, we'll see your face again someday, bud. And I want to thank all you guys for being on the WTIC Facebook page there, watching us live. Feel free to post it, share, comment, whatever you'd like. That way Zuckerberg deems our show worthy, and it might get to other folks.
See you next week.
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.